Well, good morning. Turn in your Bible to Titus chapter 3. If you wonder why John Metcalf was holding his wife's hand, he was gone a whole week and we had to put up with him down there. Boy, he's a miserable fellow. That's the way you ought to be when you're away from your wife. He was down there helping us get the church started. And he might even venture to go back down again this week. I don't know. So, but I'll tell you, that's precious to see a man who loves his wife so much. Amen? We've sure got enough of the other business around. Amen? Thank God. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. That's in the book. And then the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be keepers at home. That'd be a good one today. Huh? I was thankful my mother never worked a job. She was always there for me. Even after I got married, when I went home, I didn't have to find out what shift my mother was on. At Sears or JCPenney's, thank the Lord. Because Christmas is the busier time, I couldn't have found her anywhere. Mom was always there. My father said, "Boy, we're not going to make it, honey. Finances are getting low. And I think you're going to have to go out and get a job." She said, "Sorry, that's why I married you." Amen. That doesn't go over too big then, but... And my mother was a submissive wife, but she said, "I did enough of that before I married you, Ted. I'm not interested." And my dad made it with one job, too. Some men get too many jobs, and they work too many, and then their kids are all grown up, and they miss their children. The problem today is everybody wants everything, and they want it the first 5 years they're married. That's called covetousness and being not content with such things as you have. Well, anyhow, that's not the message, but it's good, isn't it, anyhow? Amen. Thy word is truth. All of it is for us. You know, when you put your hand on the Bible, you're in a court case. "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God." Boy, it'd be good that we preachers would learn that, and we teachers would preach the whole truth. Amen? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. That's a big order when we come to all the preaching and teaching we do. "Well, thy word is truth, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words," plural, "shall not pass away." I happen to believe that my authorized King James 1611 Bible in English is the Word of God. And I believe it's inspired. I believe it's preserved. I spend all my time reading and studying it and trying to obey it and apply it to my life, and I find no problem with the book, but I find a whole lot wrong with me. I have no patience with people who try to correct my Bible because they think they're smarter than the book. They didn't think that the first couple years they were saved, did they? They had to go to the university, the places of higher learning, to figure that they know enough Greek, Hebrew, and English and everything else that they can correct the book of God. I think that's foolish. And I don't like these new translations either. They take away and they add to the Word of God. Well, praise God, it's infallible. Wouldn't you think God would preserve an infallible word for us and not just leave it to the Greeks? And the Greeks, it's a dead language. But my God's very much alive. Hallelujah. Well, we're in Titus. marvelous book as we've been going through it. Written, of course, by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to Titus, and it's for our learning. It's a pastoral epistle, and it's for our learning. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And by the way, this it mentions about that which is profitable and unprofitable, and we'll consider that this morning. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Boy, about 10 or 15, 20 years ago, and everybody was playing down doctrine. There was a little church on the way to Houston on the 290, and it said the Doctrine Church. They changed the name. They should have left it. Doctrine means teaching. People a few years back said, oh, we don't teach doctrine in our church. We just teach love. But that's a doctrine, the doctrine of the love of God. What foolish people we have in this world. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. For reproof. A lot of people want to go to a church where they never get reproved. It's an unscriptural church with an unscriptural pastor. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Some people don't even want exhortation. Well, you're going to get it here. Amen? Teaching, reproof, rebuke, and exhortation. Exhorting. The young preachers in days gone by, they were too young to be pastors. Many of them unmarried and unlearned. They were too much a novice, but they could be an exhorter. They could exhort the people to read their Bible. Exhort the people to go soul winning. Exhort the people to clean up their lives. To walk with Christ. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in church attendance and giving. We need doctrine, reproof, rebuke, exhortation, with all long-suffering. Pastors have to have that gift too. That's patience. We cannot be a pastor and say, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. No. Amen. That's the way some people who are so impatient with God. God is in no hurry. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He knows it all. He knows when you're going to die, friends. Amen? Or get taken up in the resurrection to meet the Lord in the air. He knows the very day already. Because nothing, that just shakes you up, doesn't it? That just puts you, it makes you humble. It makes you realize that we're nothing and He's everything. God knows the day when every one of us are going to die or go up to meet the Lord. Whew. We have a great God, don't we? Oh, I hope we portray Him. Dr. Seitler said so many years ago, we need to emulate the greatness of God before our people, before our children. How great God is. And I've told this illustration before, but I'll tell it again in starting our message tonight. A long introduction. I was in the Captain D's down there on the Moorhead City boardwalk or whatever you call it, there by the ocean. Moorhead City, where my wife is now, and she'll be back on Tuesday, and I'll be glad too. Amen. And we were in there, and I went into the bathroom there. Had a huge, big bathroom. This thing was so big. And all the windows were open and looked out over the ocean right there. And I said to this young fellow, I said, what kind of fish did you eat, buddy? He said, blues. I said, that's what I had. Boy, they're good. I said, where did they come from? He said, out there. I said, and who made them? He said, God made them. I said, boy, we have a great big God, don't we? He said, yeah. He's as big as King Kong. In fact, he's as big as a million elephants. This young kid, I thought, oh, he got the right idea about God, didn't he? We've got a big God. Make all those fish out there provide for us and feeds every sparrow. I get a little amused at some of these new preachers, and they're wondering if their bills are going to get paid. Well, if God allowed you to make them and you didn't make them out of the will of God, God will pay for them. If you made them on your own, you might have to suffer a little. But God feeds the sparrows. You mean to tell me he would call a preacher of the gospel to preach the glorious gospel and not provide and feed him and pay his bills and take care of his every need? What kind of a God is that? I believe preachers ought to work themselves out of a secular job and go to preaching. They that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Pray that we'll get some preachers down there in Floresville, south of San Antonio. It's growing. And we've had 1 week of meetings there in the tent. Brother Bill Stewart's tent. We've had 6 people saved, profess faith in Christ. 3 were saved out in the highways and byways, and 3 were saved under the tent. And the one lady, Angie, was there last night, and her brother got saved, but he couldn't be there. He's down with his wife. She's very much Spanish, down in, not Del Rio, what's the other, Eagle Pass. And she's there with her mother, taking care of her mother. But he said, I'll be back on Monday for the meeting. His wife, I said, here, take this gospel tract. He said, I'll have to read it to her. My wife, she's so Spanish, she does no English. I said, well, we'll get you a Spanish John and Romans. He said, I'm going back the next weekend to see her again. I said, well, good. We'll get all that Spanish literature for her. He said, but I'll read this one. And this was a God's simple plan. He said, I'll read that to her. He'll do some interpreting, I believe. Amen. Oh, I wish I was bilingual. If they'd have taught Spanish in my public school, it's the second language in America. You know that? Isn't that something? Why in the world would anybody... Oh, I don't need to get in all... I'm just preach whatever God tells me, amen. Why in the world would they not allow people to teach the national instrument in our schools called the piano? They teach every other instrument but the piano. To me, that's almost criminal. All this public money. And when I was a boy, every home almost had a piano in it. And then what about the Spanish language? If you can learn it better when you're younger, what in the world are they teaching Spanish in the high school for? Huh? Teach it in kindergarten. Wake up, America! We're so intellectual, we're nuts. We have no common sense anymore. Amen? Well, if you want bilingual kids, start when they're young. Amen? We'll start when they're 30 or 40 in college. Well, anyhow, that's not my message. But I'm telling you, we're losing all common sense today and biblical sense. But we've got a Bible to teach us the mind of God, which we said during the Sunday school. All right. Pray for our work down there with the tent, though. God's been blessing, and we're praying that if it's God's will, that there'll be a church started maybe in Floresville, then in Kennedy and Carn City, and then over there in Pleasanton and Jordanton. And we're going to set the tent up. Pray that we'll know when to move the tent, and God will open up a place to put the tent in the other places, or to open up a little building that we can start. And that all takes money. So if nothing else, would you pray with us about it? If you don't have any money at all, would you pray with us about it? We don't want to start just everyday churches. We want to start real holy, holy Bible churches. Amen? Holy, independent, separated Baptist churches of America. We don't want to teach. We don't want to start churches that have a bunch of foolishness in the churches. We want not folly. We want purity and holiness and godliness. And so we need to adhere to the Bible and get back to prayer and the singing of the old hymns. God have mercy. The first thing that goes in the churches is the music. We are not here to entertain you teenagers. We're here to glorify God. And our hymns glorify God, and this new music glorifies the flesh. One fella said, well, you don't like our praise services. And you know what the young man said? He said, why don't you like the praise services that we're talking about? He said, because you're not praising God, you're praising praise. Bunch of foolishness. Nothing can take the place of the old rugged cross. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And sweet hour of prayer. Now they want sweet 3 minutes of prayer. No, it's sweet hour of prayer. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. These new songs have mixed up words. I went down to Carnes City and Kennedy before we started our preaching. My, the interdiction is longer than I thought. And this lady was there at the Chamber of Commerce, and I said, I heard from the fellow over at the restaurant that this area is not too good. It's dying. She said, no, that's not true. She said, Floresville's spilling up so much that they're all coming down here. And she said, this is her testimony. I used to be a Roman Catholic, she said. And I always thought that I should get immersed, but I didn't. I had trouble with it for years and years. Finally, she said, I'm in a Baptist church and I got immersed. And I didn't have much time to talk to her. She was very busy. She was very busy. By the way, baptism doesn't save you anyhow. Hello? I hope she understood that. I didn't have all day to talk to her. She was a very nice lady. You know what she told me about her Baptist church, though? She said that what they're singing in the Baptist church, though, she said, that's the only thing I really don't like. They're trying to please the teenagers. And she said, here's what the music is. She said, the music is a love song with Christian words in it. I thought to myself, that's exactly what it is. And they get the microphone. They get the microphone. We don't want this around here. I'm just going to show you. I talked to her about it. They get the microphone right up here, you know. And you know what it does? It's too intimate. You stay your distance from a person. Hello? Sing with the microphone out here. Or don't use the microphone. It's sensual. And that the Bible says in one place, sensual, devilish. There needs to be that distance. Amen? Have you ever had people and they get right up in your face? You say, back off a little bit. Your breath is okay, but what if it wasn't? Amen? You know, don't get right up in someone's face. You can look them in the eye and still be a little ways away. Hello? All right, okay. But wasn't that something for her to say that about the very church that she finally joined? That's a shame. I hope that is never said about our church here. I hope we never go that route. We're in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Let's just stand as we do honor the Word of God for a moment. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to preach a little bit of it. And we trust you won't get worried about the time. I hope you didn't come in to go out. I hope you came to get something from the Lord and to worship God. Read with me the first two verses, pausing wherever we have any punctuation so we can stay together. Just verse 1 and verse 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy wonderful word that we can just read it together. What a privilege to hold in our hands the very words of the living God, and then to hear them, hear these words being taught to us and sung about. How glorious it all is. All because we've been born again. We deserved hell, but we've been redeemed. Thou art long-suffering to us, Lord. Help us to be that with others. Help us to be kind and helpful to those that need assistance. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Put them in mind to be subject. Subject means under. Under. Sub, like the subway. To be subject to principalities. We need to be reminded of some things as we go into this third chapter. By the way, there were no chapter divisions in the originals, but I'm glad they're there to help us find our way around in the Bible. This is just written right on through. It says to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Over and over again in this chapter, we have the matter of works. Now, works do not save us. Nobody's ever been saved by works, and nobody ever will be saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. What is? Even the faith and the salvation, all of it's the gift of God. Even the faith that we have. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but this talks about good works. Good works should follow a person who is saved, and they will follow a person who is genuinely saved or they didn't get saved. Good works will follow. Now, how many good works and how much of their life will be given over to good works differs from believer to believer. But it says we should be subject to magistrates. We should not fight the police. We should not go against the leadership in our country. And this is very dangerous. I know that some who've spent all their time trying to change everything. I was thinking even this very week to put into the newspaper here. I need someone to put some of this stuff in the paper for me. And I wanted to put in there as I was driving back from yesterday from south of San Antonio. And I thought to myself, I drove by a Hooters down there. And I thought to myself, I ought to put something in the newspaper and say, shame on every one of you churches. Shame on every one of you pastors. Shame on every one of you people that live in Killeen to allow a Hooters to be brought into this town. That's the last thing we need for our soldiers. Married or single, it's the last thing we need. But I cannot spend all my time doing that. I have a gospel to preach. We have churches to plant down in South San Antonio. So God ought to call some people to lobby for our cities or whatever you call it. Because as a pastor, I cannot spend all my time at that. I'm here to preach. And I'm here to obey those that set the terrible, terrible liberal liquor law that just went through. Where were our churches? We were ready to go. I offered our picketing signs. I offered all of it. I offered it also to the abortion clinic. And then they changed and they haven't called on me for that either. I said, I've got all our picket signs that are all pro-Bible. And many of them are for life and against this choice of killing babies. But they haven't called on me yet. They were going to. Well, you say, well, we can't change it. Well, try anyhow. What about this pro-life movement? What about it? Why don't we just get an amendment to the Constitution? I've not heard of anybody wanting to start an amendment to the Constitution that we believe it's a sin and we are not going to allow people to kill babies. This has been since the 70s, hasn't it? Who has started the amendment? Not just against perverts marrying perverts, but getting these doctors to quit killing our babies. Did you realize that there's an amendment that came through and liquor was out completely? Do you realize that Coryell County, I heard they're trying to change that too, and bring liquor into Coryell County. This used to be a dry county 20 or 30 years ago. Bell County. Not Coryell still is, but they're trying to change that now. I have time to give my people, give our picket signs. We'll have a march. I'll stand out there by the hour like we stood against the Wiccans, those wicked Wiccans. Ours was the only church I knew about that stood against it. Thank God for your husband, John Walton, who was a chaplain who started the whole thing. Bless his name. Pray that he'll get back from Iraq soon, safe and sound. Why aren't we having an amendment? We've been screaming and hollering long enough. Have a vote. Come on. Well, it won't go through. You haven't tried yet? Whew. Pray for me. I get a little wound up this morning. But we are supposed to stand against sin. We are supposed to be involved, but I can't spend all my time doing it. And I'm not going to spend all my time doing it either. Because I've got sinners that we're going out tonight from 5 to 6, and we're going to try to reach some sinners for Jesus. And the first commission, the great commission, is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we stood against these things, but you can't spend all your time. Even with the Wiccans, I was available for them. For the press. But I can't spend all my time fighting witches either. Amen? Said, well, did anything good come out of it? Yes, in Copper's Cove, they closed the New Age store run by a witch. Yes, something was good that was done. But nothing good will be done if we do nothing. One pastor, for your information, if you're a local person here, one of the pastors in town started against this liquor thing, and he dropped the ball. He dropped the ball. He even put articles in the newspaper, but he dropped the ball. So now we have now we're having all these restaurants coming in with liquor in here. Yep. Oh, have they come in since that change too? Because now they can do like the mayor who wants to have her, doesn't want to wait in line for her wine. I wonder if she'll wait in line for a drop of water in hell. You can tell her that for me, amen? She better repent of her sin or she'll burn like every other unbeliever. Put them in mind. But we have to be subject to the police. To the military police, to those on the fort. They didn't even want us giving out Bibles. The head chaplain or garrison chaplain said we couldn't give out Bibles to our troops going over there. Well, my God says you give the Word of God out, and we did it anyhow. We gave out over 10,000 New Testaments. And he put it in the paper that one church in town gave out 10 Bibles. Well, hoopy-doop. We gave out 10,000. Amen! He said we couldn't give them out because they had the name Baptist on them or something. He said, give them to me and I'll make sure they get out. They wouldn't have got out either. We don't want to do it that way anyhow. I think I'm an American citizen, amen? If I want to give a Bible out to somebody, they were giving rosary beads out. They put it even in the paper, didn't they? That some lady was giving rosary beads out to our soldiers. And I can't give a New Testament out? What in the world's going on? But we obey. We try to do our best. When the MPs stop us, we say, yes, sir, God bless you. I'm leaving the fort. But you don't tell them you're not coming back the next day either. Amen? My Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they tell me I can't preach the gospel to those single soldiers over in Fort Hood, and I will preach it. I believe I ought to have the freedom to stand on a street corner and give the gospel out right on Fort Hood. My tax money, your tax money is paying for their salaries, and I have the right under the Constitution and the First Amendment to give the gospel out and not to infringe my right to preach. So they're the ones going against the Constitution. But when it comes and they come and say, "I, you got to quit." Yes, I'm quitting. God bless you. But I've got a whole area off the fort. I can go there. Amen? Do your best to be. Realize that we must be subject to those in authority. Obey magistrates. Amen? Be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man. I believe the reference there is really, you're supposed to warn people, and Paul names them right in the Scripture. So it's not talking about in every situation. It's your general thing is you shouldn't spend your time talking evil about anyone else. Bringing up evil or taking your time to do that. In other words, just because maybe you don't like them or something, that's unscriptural. Amen? To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler. We're not to be brawlers. Fighters. We're forbidden to be a striker as a pastor. We cannot be a striker. We see it down further. What else? But gentle. The Bible says the gentleness of Christ. If Jesus was gentle, may God help us to be gentle. But I'll tell you what. We don't need our boys to be so gentle that they're not rough. Our boys need to be, you fellas, you be strong. Amen? We don't need a feminine bone in our body, fellas. We're men. And even our Savior, he made a whip and drove him out of the... He said, "Be on your way," as Lester Roloff said. "You've made the house of God a den of thieves." He turned their tables upside down. He made the whip himself. And personally did the work of cleaning the temple. And some believe he cleaned it at the beginning of his ministry and then at the end of his ministry. But I know he did it. And by the way, what know ye not that your body is the temple? Whoa! He wants to come in and clean us out too, amen? We better give him free rein to clean us out. Body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Showing all meekness unto all men. Moses was such a meek one. Meekest man. And you know what though? Your strong point might become your weakness, sir. Young lady, young woman, your strong point might become your weakness. He was the meekest man, and yet he got angry with him at the water and smote the rock when he should have spoken to it. And he begged God to let him go in. He said, "Don't speak to me anymore, Moses. You're not going in." And Aaron didn't go in for the same reason. They didn't sanctify the Lord God. He got angry with the people. Now, they were the kind of people you could sure enough make anybody angry. But God can get angry, but you can't. Are you with me? Hello? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen. Meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. It says, you know why we should be meek and we should not be a brawler and we should speak evil of no man and be gentle unto all men and obey magistrates? Because, look at this, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts or many lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Boy, this sounds like the old life. I didn't even do much of this in the old life. I was brought up in the old Methodist church. They taught me to love everybody. Maybe if your boys are real hateful and everything, maybe they weren't brought up in that atmosphere to teach them that they should love God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind and love their neighbor as theirself. I sure heard it a lot in my old... They didn't have the gospel there, but they taught that there. You know what we believe? We are the results of what we're taught. I get amazed at these independent Baptist pastors that are chewing each other up. I just get amazed at it. They haven't got a good word to say about other preachers. When someone comes from their church over to their church, they won't call the pastor and say, "Why is your member over here? I thought he was a member of your church." I thought we should especially love our pastor brothers. Do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. That's in the book, and it's not in the book one time, it's in the book many times. Old and New Testament. It's the second greatest law in all the Bible. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And most of us love ourselves plenty. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Thank God he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. We're saved because of his grace and his kindness and his forgiveness and his mercy. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm. Well, I have that circled in my Bible. Constantly. We should be affirming this constantly. That they which have believed in God, that's me when I got saved at 16 years old, might be careful. I have that circled. Careful. Or concerned, strong concern to maintain good works. Not just have a few good works, but to maintain good works. Some of us are kind of kind at times, but then we don't know if we're a wolf or a sheep. Well, if you're in the flock of God and you've been saved by his grace, you ought to act like a sheep. Ought not act like a wolf and a dog. Maintain good works. These things are good and profitable. There's the word. Profitable. Unto men. Good works are profitable unto men. And following these instructions that are up here. You look at verse 15 of the previous chapter. These things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. And then put them in mind, verse 1 of chapter 3. But look what he says here now. We're getting on with the chapter. I know we're going very quickly, but I think it'd be better that we do this morning. We can always come back and get into it deeper, in a deeper fashion. He says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. The law. There's the Pentateuch again. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. For they are unprofitable and vain. We should not be involved with unprofitable and vain things. And what are those? Foolish questions, genealogies, and contentions, and strivings about the law. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. In other words, you're not supposed to reject a man the first time he's in error. You're supposed to try to help him. But then if he rejects you twice, then you mark him. Mark him, it tells us in another part of the scriptures in Thessalonians. It says here, reject them, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth. Heresy, bad doctrine, is sinful. God hates bad doctrine, heretical doctrine, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer. Wow, here's a lawyer that got saved. Would you believe? A saved lawyer. And Apollos on their journey diligently. that nothing be wanting unto them. Go back with me just for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, talking about Apollos. In verse 12 it says, and this was contentions, by the way, contentions, strivings, these other things. Look at verse 12 now with me. Now this I say, that one, every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. We don't have time to get into all that, but Apollos was an eloquent man. We have that in the Acts. Look at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 18 with me, please. Who is this Apollos fellow? Look with me. We're not going to go to many other scriptures. We'll be through shortly here. Hang on. Amen. The ride isn't very much longer, I believe. Hello. Good morning. Good afternoon. You say, oh, it's past 12 o'clock. Well, we'll take the clock down if it bothers you too much. We'll confiscate all your watches as you come in the door. No, we won't do that. Amen? But you better have your mind on God, not on your watch. Chapter 18 of Acts, verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures. What a commendation by God Almighty, putting this in the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And mighty in the Scripture, came to Ephesus, and this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they'd heard his preaching and his teaching, get this now, they took him. Not in front of other people rebuking him, they took him. The Bible way, to admonish a preacher who is not, doesn't have it all put together. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Marvelous. If you're mighty in the Scriptures, you might have some humility enough to let some woman or a man and woman take you aside privately and instruct you in the way of God more perfectly. Sad to say, I think some preachers are beyond that. We're God's men, but we're not God. We should be godly, but we don't know everything, do we? We know something, but we don't know everything. And he was humble enough to let them show him something other than just the baptism of John. Oh, God, give us some men mighty in the Scriptures, even eloquent men, who are humble enough to say, oh, if you have something from God for me, I'll be glad to listen. And let ours also learn to maintain good works. There it is again, good works. For of necessity uses, necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. This is the normal book for naming Paul, naming himself, and then ending his declaration in that way. Oh, that we'd be mighty in the Scriptures. Oh, that we'd just obey magistrates, that we'd obey the Word of God. The only way you could get to God in the Old Testament is through the sacrifices. Did you know that? You had to bring a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And yet the scripture says to obey is better than sacrifice, Saul. To obey and to hearken than the fat of rams. And all the fat was burned up to God. And it pleased God too. Amen? Because it was the picture of the Christ who was going to come later and shed his blood and hang there on Calvary's cross to bear your sin and my sin. And I want to just say this in closing. When Jesus came out to be baptized of John the Baptist, and when John said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, those Jews all knew what he was talking about. For it was always the blood of a lamb. And John said, Behold the Lamb of God. What he was saying is, he'll take your sins away too. Glory. But you must come the Bible way to be saved. Young man, you cannot be saved by your church membership. You cannot be saved by the baptismal waters. You must be saved by faith in the blood. The propitiation through faith in his blood to declare, as I say unto you, his righteousness. For the remission of sins that are past. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. You can tell that preacher out in California for me. It is the blood. He said it's his death, not his blood, when he wrote to the university fellows. And I'm sorry to say, but that man, that in that area of the blood, he's a heretic. Who hath washed us from our sins in his own blood, it says, Revelation chapter 1. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That was efficacious blood. That was sinless blood. Even Judas said, I betrayed the innocent blood. And threw the money down, went out and hung himself, and went to his place. He went to hell. And he walked with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Preachers for 3.5 years, saw the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame get up and jump and run around, and heard the sermons of the greatest preacher, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and died and went to hell. And even kissed him and betrayed him with a kiss. Kissed the door to heaven, Jesus said, I am the door, and died and went to hell. So can you sit in a Baptist church and not be saved? Oh, yes. If you could be in the very presence of the King of Kings and even chosen by him. But the Bible said he was stealing out of the bag all the time. It's the son of perdition. It's still important to get your kids in church, though. Because that's where they hear the word of God. That's where they're made miserable. Until they're made sad. And until they're made real glad. Say, well, my kids, they don't like the preaching. Well, at least they have an attitude toward it. Some of them, they just don't care about anything. If you got them mad, you got them a third of the way there. Brother Magnuson said, they always get mad, then they get sad, then they get glad. So at least you got their attention if they're upset. Amen? Oh, but a lot of the sheep now, they get a little bit nervous when you start upsetting the people when they come to church. Well, some, they're so sinful and they're lost in their sins and they need to get all upset. With the preacher, then they get upset with their sin and then they get upset with the devil and then they come to God and get saved. Just thank God that the preacher preaches on hellfire. The first ones we had saved under the tent was when I preached on hell. I said, if any of you preachers know anything more about hell, I'm preaching on hell tonight. I'll take anything. I gave them everything I had. And Angie and her brother, Willie brought another person thinking he was saved. And then he got saved. He made a profession that night and his sister. Supposed to be back on Monday. A lot of people think they're saved and they're not saved. I had enough wisdom to know when he was all excited and everything, I didn't think he was saved either. You learn that if you've got wisdom about soul winning. The guy says, well, I'm a Baptist. What does that mean? There's all kinds of Baptists in hell right now. Can you hear their cry right now? They're screaming and hollering and say, I want a drop of water. Can you hear them with your spiritual mind? Not in your ear. Can you hear them spiritually? And they never committed adultery. They wouldn't have thought about committing adultery one time. Right? And they're in hell anyhow. I'm thankful that they didn't think that it was good to commit adultery. But that didn't save them. You got to be saved by grace through faith. How many people are in hell now who trusted their baptism? How many people are in hell now because they trusted their being nice to little old ladies and little old men and being nice to the children? I'm glad they're nice to people. I'd rather live with nice people than nasty people. Although, but it won't save you. And you'll be in hell with all kinds of nasty people forever. And if these other churches aren't going to preach on hell as much as they should, I'm going to preach it three times as much. Amen. So we'll get back to balance. Amen? Amen. My wife said, or one of the relatives, or my daughter or something, said years ago, preach on hell, fire, and brimstone, Dad. It's the only thing that works. Fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge. They haven't even got started in understanding or knowledge or wisdom. They don't believe they're going to devil's hell one day. My Jesus preached more about hell than he did heaven because he didn't want you to go, friend. You say, well, how do I avoid hell? I'm glad you asked. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Quit trusting any of your good works or any innate ability that God has given you. Thank God you have all your mental faculties that you can even trust the Lord Jesus Christ and give your whole life to him. Let's bow our heads for prayer.